Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is wonderful to be here tonight. It's wonderful to have this opportunity to worship God. Praise the Lord. Well, before we do anything tonight, we're going to go ahead and pray because it is so important that we always seek the Lord's guidance in everything we do. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, asking, O God, that thy presence would be here, asking that thou would pour out thy Spirit upon each and every one of us. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost, we pray. We ask, O God, for thy inspiration. We ask that thou wouldst give us the ability to truly worship thee in spirit and in truth. Be here this night, we pray, and we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your chorus book, we're going to start with number 11. Tonight, let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise.
Our hearts toward heaven and praise.
praise the Lord. Well, why don't we go to number 64 and sing, Bless the Lord, O my soul. 64. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. He hath done great things. He hath done great things. Things, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His within me, bless His holy name. For He hath done great things. He hath done great things. He hath done great things. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His His name is worthy of our praise. His name is the name above every name, and His name is a refuge for our souls. Why don't we go to number 90 right now and sing the name of the Lord.
The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name
Jesus. Why don't we go to number 122 and sing Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. That's the reason why I love Him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. That's the reason why I love Him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name. That's the reason why I love Him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Praise the Lord. And there is no other name like that name. There's just something about that name. Why don't we go to number 22 and sing that chorus? Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. 22. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name.
God, and you know, heaven and earth will pass away, but that name still remains. Praise the Lord. Our Savior is eternal. Glory to God. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for the many ways that Thou hast kept us and blessed us and helped us over these years. For we know that it is only by Thy mercy and Thy grace that we are here, Lord. And we thank Thee so very much for all that Thou hast done for us. We ask for Thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the cause of Thy wonderful name. And we ask, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here tonight and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we turn things over to Shirley. And I need to look up the number. I think it's 252 in the hymnal, but I need to double check that and make sure. Oh, no. That's actually not the one I was thinking of. I'll have to check the index, but just take a moment. Okay. Let's see. 255, that's what it is. Jesus loves even me. I knew it was in the 250s somewhere. Praise the Lord. Number 255. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee, when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Praise the Lord. What a wonder it is. He loves us. Not that we deserve it, but he loves us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we will turn it over to Shirley.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. I am glad that Jesus loves me. Oh, praise the Lord for such an undeserved blessing. Yes, praise God. You know, we are blessed. And, you know, just to think that we know the Lord. You think of all these people out there that deny the Lord Jesus. And you know, or those that are thinking that he never came. People that claim that they're still looking for a Messiah. I'll tell you what, I'm so glad that after 2,000 years, here we are, still singing his praises and knowing the authority in that name. And oh, I think we've got a ways to go before we're like the early church exactly, but by his grace and by his power, by his enablement, by his ability, I believe we're going to get there. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to get there. We're reaching out. We're going to seek the things of heaven and see what the Lord will do. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight and ask the Lord to be here. Any requests? Are there any requests out there? Okay. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do thank you, God, for your mercy, your grace, your long-suffering, your kindness. Thank you for this opportunity that you've given us here tonight, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, that privilege that we have to know you, Lord, to open up your word, God, to draw nigh to you, Lord. Oh, God, to lift up holy hands unto thee without wrath and doubting, Lord. Oh, God, to know thee as Lord and Savior. Oh, God, we thank you, Jesus. We do praise you, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that you'd work here tonight, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd meet the needs of your people, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you'd breathe upon us the breath of life. Oh, God, that heavenly breath that we need, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, that new life that you give us, Lord. For it's not enough to be born once, Lord. We all must be born again of the water and of the Spirit, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that you would talk to our hearts. Oh, God, that you'd get us to that place where we need to be in you, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd help us to see through spiritual eyes. Help us to get our minds on you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, help us to get our focus proper, Lord. We do cry to you here tonight, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we ask that you'd help us to see. Oh, God, see, help us to understand. Oh, God, bind the strong man. And, oh, Lord, all the things that come against us to oppose us. Oh, God, and oh, God, help us not to be forgetful hearers, Lord. Help us to be doers of thy word. Oh, God, let thy word come alive in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we do come to you, Lord Jesus, in your precious name, Lord, asking you for the breath of life here tonight, Lord Jesus, that you'd speak to us. Oh, God, that you regenerate us, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd stir our hearts. God, that you'd bind the strong man, all the fears, the doubts, apprehensions, the things that are coming against us, Lord, the opposition, Lord Jesus. We ask that you would bind it in the name of Jesus, Lord. We take authority over it, Lord. God, we ask that you'd loosen faith here in our midst here, oh Lord. Oh, God, loosen faith, Lord. Oh, God, loosen hope, Lord. Joy in the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, a renewing, Lord Jesus, that comes from thy presence, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, that you give me words. Lord, that you speak here tonight, and oh, Lord, let your will be done. I pray in Jesus' name by the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. We're just going to go to some basics here tonight, and just going to call this, Lord, teach us to pray. I was a little stirred in my spirit. I know, last Friday there was an event down here in the church basement. It wasn't, you know, it was due to a funeral, and one of my daughters had asked if her mother-in-law could, you know, use this place afterwards, and so we made ready and all that sort of thing. My girls helped out on that, but you know, I was told that you know, when it was time to eat, that the people there that were in charge, you know, wondered who could pray. And you know, one of the young ladies there, Alicia, I believe, you know, said she thought she could kind of remember the Lord's Prayer, but that sort of thing. She kind of had known it or something, but wasn't sure if she could remember the whole thing or so. But then, you know, another woman prayed, and, you know, you could tell that they really didn't know anything about prayer. They'd really not been in the depths of prayer, and I just thought, how sad. You know, here it is, you know, this woman had just gone on to meet her maker, and you know, I wonder if she knew how to pray. You know, I know when I heard what was going on, I prayed for her, but you know, I never had the opportunity, I don't believe, to meet her and all that kind of thing. But you know, so many people live this life, and they don't really think about the things that really matter. They kind of have this misconception, thinking that, you know, the prayers of a priest or a prophet or some kind of preacher are adequate, and that they don't need how to their own selves to know how to pray. They you know, they just think it's, you know, somebody else's prayers are good enough. And I recalled another example. Several years ago, we were at another occasion. I think it was a birthday party, probably, and I think it was Pastor who said at that point, who's going to ask the blessing when it was time to eat? And I can remember, you know, this one woman just kind of looking at us and saying, "Well, that's your department, isn't it?" And again, there's that misconception that people seem to think, you know, that, you know, somebody else will do the praying for me. And you know that they'll get me to heaven. You know that, that trust in the priest or that preacher or, you know, that book or whatever all. But I don't believe that's adequate. I don't think that's going to get people to heaven, you know. Oh my, it is so important to know how to pray. It's just one of the very basics of God's word and of his kingdom that we would know how to pray. And I think it is time to get back to the basics. I think it is time to really know how to put the Lord first, to really seek his kingdom, and so that the things of this world become trivial compared to the kingdom of God. You know, we know these things, but sometimes they kind of get away from us. And I think, you know, no matter where we are and what we're doing, if we are at some kind of event or walking down the street or in a store or just whatever, all, it should be in our hearts to lead people to the Lord. We should be aware that, you know, there's people out there and, you know, for the most part, very, very few of them really know the Lord. They really never come to him, and they're out there. They're blind. They might have a blind leader that's trying to get them there. And, you know, it's you know, something they probably haven't even really deeply considered, their need for a true relationship with the Lord Jesus. And I just think it's time for the Church of the Living God to really come alive. The Lord to put that burning desire within us. You know, I think of the Church of the Ephesians, the Church of Ephesus. And they did so well in the book of Acts. They were a thriving, wonderful ministry. The Lord was working majorly, mightily in their midst. But a few years down the road, there was trouble. There was trouble, and it wasn't because they weren't trying, they weren't making efforts, they weren't doing things. No, they were busy. They were doing things, and you know, it probably seemed to them that all was well. But there was something that was missing. There was something that was missing, and they were rebuked for it in the second chapter of Revelation. They had lost their first love. They had lost their first love, and it was serious. They were told to repent and that they were fallen. And if they didn't repent and do the first works, otherwise the Lord was going to come unto them quickly and remove their candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. It was a very, very serious omission on their part. And you know, like I know, there in the book of Acts, they were thriving. They were full of the power of God. You know, they had zeal and miracles and wonders were happening in their midst. But it didn't take too long for them to get to that place where they had lost that first love. And I know one thing right now, it is time for us to come alive in the Lord Jesus. It is time for us to pray like we've never prayed before. It's time for us to worship like we've never worshiped before. It's time to put first things first and forget about all the trivial things that hinder and, you know, become so large in our minds that sometimes we can't even see. You know, you could tell by people's conversations what they think about the most. For sure, it's time for the Lord to be first on our list. Oh, so that he dominates our thoughts and so that our hearts are stayed upon him and so that we're always in that constant state of prayer. Oh, so that, you know, no matter what the occasion is, that we can turn to the Lord, that we can pray. We might see somebody out on the sidewalk who needs prayer. We might see somebody in the store who needs prayer. It might be somebody at a party who needs prayer. But we need to be in that place where we can help those people to find the living God, to get right with God, to know the living God. Oh, it's so important to know how to pray. And of course, the 11th chapter of Luke, one of the disciples asked the Lord Jesus to teach them to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray. We know that in the 18th chapter of Luke, that Jesus told that parable of the unjust judge and the widow who came before him. And the point of his whole parable was that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Oh my, there's a lot of short little prayers. But that parable talks about the need to be persistent, to not give in, not to give up, to hold fast, to keep on believing God, even when it looks like there's no hope and everything is against us and opposing us. Yet, that need to believe God, to pray, and not to faint. Oh, if it was important back then, so much right now, so much more right now in this hour before his coming, because, you know, as that story, that parable that Jesus told ended, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth?" And here we are right now, oh my, you know, that need to draw nigh to God and let him draw nigh to us. Oh, that need to get right, to cleanse one's heart, to purify one's mind, oh my, to have a clean heart and a right spirit. All of that is so important. Let's go to Matthew, the 6th chapter here, and go through some of these details as we go through some of the very basics of learning how to pray, being taught how to pray. And you know, obviously, you know, it's something that, you know, the disciples, they walked with Jesus that period of time, and you know, this was probably earlier in the ministry, but you know, it was obviously on their heart, that need to know how to pray. So Jesus gave some wonderful basics. If we go to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and looking at the very first verse, Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward." And that was a custom at that time. You know, these men with the money, you know, I don't know if they hired the trumpeters or just what, they probably did, you know, so that they would be noticed when they gave their alms, you know, they would blow the trumpets. So, you know, people would know, you know, dun dun dun, dun or whatever, you know, they were giving big money. And is it so different right now? I mean, I haven't looked at a paper for two, you know, for a while actually. But I recall seeing pictures where, you know, you'd see a couple individuals or so, and you know, they'd be handing a check to a charity or some kind of institution, and you know, you smiling happily, you know, and you know, like, you know, look, we're doing, you know, we've giving this money to this charity, to this cause, you know, and, you know, announcing it before the whole world, and snap, 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 you know, the picture was taken and all this and that. But that's not the way the Lord wants it. It's not to be announced. It's not to be proclaimed. And Jesus said, "Verily, I say unto you, they have the reward." That's, you know, they've announced it. You know, they made a spectacle of themselves, and that's their reward. But he continues to say, "But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." You know, it's to be done unto the Lord, not to be seen of man. And then he goes on to talk about prayer. Well, let's read the fourth verse here. It says, "That thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." Oh, praise the Lord. He knows what we do. You know, the little things that, you know, nobody else notices or even knows. But God knows. And he takes note of all of that. It's not hidden from him. And he knows how to reward us appropriately. But then, yes, the fifth verse does go on to talk about prayer. And it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have the reward. Again, just doing it to be a spectacle, you know, to announce your so-called holiness before the whole world, so to speak. You know, again, wow. That's what a hypocrite does, to be seen a man. But Jesus went on to say, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Oh, it's so wonderful to have a closet of prayer. You know, that is such a wonderful place. I must say, these days, I'm glad I don't live in an apartment because there might be complaints. But I'm so thankful that we can go to God, you know, and pour out our hearts. And, you know, it might be travail, you know, it might be, you know, some kind of need beyond what we can even describe. But I'm so glad we have that little sanctuary with the Lord, that place where we can enter in and shut the Lord. And, you know, again, not to be seen a man, not to be heard a man, but bringing that need, that petition before the Lord. And, you know, sometimes people think that it has to be fancy, the prayer. And, you know, or it has to be, you know, done in a certain way, or there's a method to it, or something. But praise the Lord, what is prayer? It's a heart-to-heart talk with the Lord. It's bearing your soul to the Lord. It's crying out to Him with all your heart, bringing those needs. And it can be interceding, because surely it comes to that. When you're really in prayer and all the others come to mind and you bring them before the Lord, for surely there are so many needs in this world. But thank God, that's what prayer is. It's that wonderful privilege that we have to go to the throne of grace. I mean, we're going to God, the Almighty One, the Creator, the One that made us. What right have we really? You know, you would just enter into, you know, a kingly chamber and expect Him to see you. You know, you'd probably go through all this protocol before you could even, you know, maybe get a peek, for all we know. And to have an audience with Him, oh my, I'm sure there'd be a whole bunch of this and that that you would have to do before you know, we'd ever have that privilege. But we can go directly to God. You know, we don't have to go to a priest and have him make intercession for us and, you know, bear our, you know, burdens before Him and, you know, tell Him all the secrets of our heart. No, that's not appropriate. That's not right. That's not needful. No. In fact, oh my, that could be quite the opposite. But praise the Lord, there is One who bids us to come unto Him, all that are heavy laden, and come to Him with the burdens and the needs and the anguish of the heart, and enter in and speak to Him openly, that throne of grace and mercy, that we might find help in the time of need. So praise the Lord. Here it goes on to say in verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And here's another misconception that is prevalent in this world that we live in today. People with usage of vain repetitions, you know, maybe praying the rosary or following their beads or doing a chant or something or some kind of prayer book or whatever, you know, their Hail Marys and everything else that people do to try to make it right with God. All that genuflecting that they do when the Catholics, when they enter into the church and bow down, and then the sign of the cross, and, you know, all those things that they do to try to be right with God. But all that is vain repetitions. And we're told here not to do such things. We're not going to be heard for our much speaking. Just because we're saying a bunch of words, that doesn't mean that God's going to listen to us. You know, many years ago, it just came to myself and my sister, and there was another friend that We had never been in a Catholic church, and it wasn't because we wanted to be Catholics by any means, but we wanted to know what it was going to be like to be there, you know? So we got up early this one Sunday morning, and we walked to this Catholic church. It was before, you know, the church service started, and we just wanted to be there. And it was creepy. It was hard. I mean, we kind of snuck in the back and felt very, very odd for sure. But it was sad too. It was really sad to see these people who probably had sincere hearts and you know, had a respect for God to a certain degree and a certain tiny bit of knowledge doing this and doing that and thinking that they were going to reap eternal life through those things. And then this priest got up, and I still remember his sermon. It wasn't very long, and it wasn't really, I don't even know if he used the Bible at all. I don't recall that he did, but his sermon was all how sad it was that more people weren't showing up for their prayer meeting. And their prayer meeting was prayer for the dead. And again, another terrible, terrible misconception. But that's the way it is. People don't know, you know? So many of them are dear folks, and they might have a great sense of being moral, decent people, but yet so far from the living God and thinking that their vain repetitions are going to bring them eternal life. But that's what the heathen do. That's what the heathen did back then, the time of Jesus, and that's what they're still doing. You know, that kind of thing puts you in that classification. Those that just chant vainly, vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But then Jesus began to tell us how to pray. It says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him." And then he said, "After this manner therefore pray ye." And this isn't something that we have to repeat word for word. You know, some people think that, you know, this is also, many, many devout people think that just praying this is adequate. And it can be prayed from the heart, which is a wonderful thing. But, you know, it's a pattern of how to pray. It's after this manner, therefore pray ye. And he tells us, "We address our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name." Oh, giving him the glory that's due his great and wonderful name. And then the 10th verse says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And you know, it is so important to remember that when we pray, that we want the Lord's will to be done. Our will might be this one thing, but God's will might be something entirely different. And you know, what good is it if it's just our will? It's God's will that needs to be done. And he says, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And then our request, "Give us this day our daily bread." And you know, of course, you know, just asking God for the things that we need. And of course, it could go on from there. He knows. It already tells us that he knows what things that we have need of even before we ask him. But thank the Lord, he's giving us this opportunity to bring our needs before him. And here's that request, "Give us this day our daily bread." Of course, yes, you can elaborate from that according to your own particulars. And then this need, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," or also it says "trespasses" in Luke, "as we forgive those who have trespassed against us." And what an important issue this is. We want to be forgiven by our Heavenly Father. We need to be forgiven. Sin isn't going to enter into heaven, and we must all have those sins taken care of. So we need so desperately to be forgiven our trespasses, our sins, our debts. but it says, as we forgive our debtors. And, you know, it goes on to tell us that if we don't forgive men their trespasses, then our Heavenly Father can't forgive us either. So what a tremendous need this is. And then verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And that wonderful thing to ask that we would not be led into temptation, but delivered from evil. Oh my, yes, it's all around us, isn't it? The temptations of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, all of that is all around us. Those things that try to sneak in and hinder us and tempt us and bring us down. But we pray. And how beautiful it is. I think every morning we need to put that day into God's hands and ask Him to take charge of that day. You know, to bring us to the places we need to be, with the people we need to see, with the works we need to do, and that He would keep us from the evil, that He'd keep us from temptation, that He'd help us to walk the straight and narrow and you know, not go astray, not run into some trouble, not get into trouble by any means. All of that to put it into His hands and ask that His will would be done in earth as it is in heaven. Oh my, and that could encompass so much. Particularly in this time period when we see so much evil on every side. But you know, praise the Lord, we can take authority over the devices of men, over their cunning, over their thinking. Oh my, over their efforts. You know, we can pray against them. We can pray against the opposition. We can pray against the chemtrails. Oh my, we can pray against all their cunning and their, you know, thoughts that they, you know, they have in the dark rooms where they come against the children of God. But we can pray, and the Lord can give us favor and power with Him and authority with God and man. And it's a wonderful thing. So Jesus is teaching how to pray, and then he ends his prayer saying, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Giving it all back to God, that which belongs to Him, the kingdom, the power, the glory. It's all His. We don't want to take glory for ourselves. We don't want to assume something that isn't ours to assume. You know, it's all because of God and what He has done for us, the price that Jesus paid for us on the cross, and how privileged we are. How privileged we are. And of course, we could elaborate on that. But the thankfulness that comes from the heart because He has redeemed us and He set us free. He bought us with the dear price of His blood. Amen. And so it continues in verse 14 to say, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And just very, very simple there. You know, either forgive to be forgiven, or otherwise He's not going to forgive us. Just very, very basic, very, very simple. But how often do people harbor things in their heart? You know, maybe things from years and years ago, you know, that person might have completely changed. That person might be dead. And yet, a lot of times, people are hanging on to it. And, you know, thinking all this and that, and, you know, letting it stress them out and give them anxiety and, you know, making them angry and upset. No, that's all to be given to the Lord. Oh, that need to forgive and not to hang on. You know, it's so precious. It talks about not entering into temptation and to be delivered from evil. I think how Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. You know, that wasn't an easy matter for Him. Yes, we know He was God come down. He was God in the flesh. But yet, he had flesh. And he did feel pain. He did know sorrow. He did know heartache. He did have burdens and all those things. You know, and there he was, you know, knowing what was upon him there in Gethsemane, knowing that the reason that he came into the world was upon him. And talk about being single-minded. Jesus knew why he came into this world. It wasn't an easy task. It wasn't for pleasure. It wasn't for entertainment. You know, he wasn't seeking to have a family, or he wasn't seeking to get rich or to build a kingdom for himself or a name of any sort here on earth. But he came because we needed deliverance, because we were condemned, because we had no hope in ourselves, because we were separated from God. And he knew there was only one thing that could set us free, and that was taking our place on the cross of Calvary, taking our sins, dying for us, shedding his blood so that we might be freed, taking those stripes so we might be healed. Oh, what a wonderful price he paid. But there in Gethsemane, and it tells us in the 26th chapter of Matthew, that there as they entered in, he came with his disciples to that place, and he told them to sit there a while he went and prayed yonder. Tells us he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, in other words, James and John, with him, and his spirit was heavy. It was sorrowful. He knew that hour was upon him, and, you know, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy what was before him. In fact, he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He was just hoping to have a little support. Somebody behind him, somebody praying with him. You know, we all know how valuable that is, how precious that is. You know, when somebody has, something of concern upon their heart and something they have to bear, it's very precious to have somebody that will be there with you or pray there with you or whatever all, just to have some support. But there it was. It tells us he went a little further and fell on his face, and he began to pray. And he said, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And, you know, it tells us in Luke, the 22nd chapter, that as he was praying, it was so heavy, so hard, that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood that fell to the ground. I mean, you know, when the capillaries break like that, it means that you're close to death. And there he was. He was in Gethsemane, knowing what was upon him. And it was so hard. It was so painful. It also tells us in Luke that there was an angel that came to support him, to strengthen him at that moment. It was such a heavy, heavy, heavy moment, you know, as he was there. But praise the Lord. He arose from his prayer and he came to the disciples and they were sleeping. And, you know, he said to them, he said, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Just 1 hour? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Verse 41 in Matthew 26. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, that need to watch and pray. You know, we know good and well if we wouldn't eat for a long space of time, what would happen to us physically. But how many people are concerned with what's going to happen to them if they don't pray? What's going to happen to them spiritually if they're not watching and praying? they're not talking to the Lord, if they're not having that time with the Lord, if they're not giving things over to the Lord. It says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. You know, most likely if you're not watching and praying, you're just going to give in to the things of this world. You're just going to give in to the things of the flesh. You know, you're probably very carnal-minded because you haven't had that time with the Lord. You haven't been in His presence. You haven't been in that place. And we know, yes, sometimes it's hard work. Sometimes you don't feel like it. Sometimes fatigue overtakes you. But we have to have that time with the Lord. It's so necessary. It's so important. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Oh yes, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We don't know how weak we are so often. We don't know. I don't know if I didn't have that time with the Lord, where would I be? You know, we could all ponder that. You know, it's God who sustains us. It's God who gives us ability. It's God who gives us hope. And we need that strength that comes from Him. That strength that comes from the Lord Jesus. Oh my, I'm so glad that He was so willing to do that for us. I mean, you know, He had one purpose when He came to this world, to seek and to save those that were lost. That's why He came. You know, He wasn't, you know, entertaining other possibilities and other thoughts and you know, taking one night lightly or, you know, one day, you know, just going on something else. It was all deep there. It was all commitment. It was all a giving over. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. You know, He knew what it was like to be rejected. He knew what it was like to have a heavy heart and no one to bear it with you. No one to share it with you. He knew what that was like. And there in Gethsemane, yes, He knew that hour was upon Him, that hour when they were going to come. Oh, one of His very own, one of the 12 was going to come and kiss Him with a kiss of betrayal. He knew all of that, yes. And sure enough, they did come, a great multitude with swords and with staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people, Judas leading the way. Oh, I don't know how we could bear it. Because it wasn't just dying on the cross. But He knew there was something else He was going to have to do. He was going to have to take our sins. Oh my, He who knew no sins was going to bear our sins on that cross so that we might be reconciled to God. We might be brought back to God. We might be redeemed. We might be redeemed by that blood that He shed. And oh, we can thank God. We can praise God. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for what You took for us, oh Lord, there on the cross, and the price that You paid. Oh, we thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord. Oh, God, as unworthy as we are, oh God. Oh, we thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, we praise the Lord. Oh, we praise God. And another important thing to consider with prayer is the need to reconcile with a brother if something has not been right. Matthew 5 brings those kind of things out. We look at verse 21 to start here. It says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Oh, there is an esteem that we must have for one another, and a love that we should have for one another. For we're all in this together, and the Lord has brought us together. Oh my, and what a precious thing it is to have one another. But it tells us in verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, it says, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. The importance of being reconciled to somebody who maybe misjudged you or had an argument with you or a misunderstanding or something went awry. That need to try to reconcile first before you come to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Of course, other things that are told us about prayer, we're told that we're to pray without ceasing. That means it should be a continuous part of our lives. You know, a prayer in our hearts, you know, when we're driving, when we're in the kitchen, when we're walking, you know, when we're lying on our bed, whatever it is, we're to pray without ceasing. And I love to think how the early church was with that. I think such a prime example, of course, is Acts the 12th chapter. And just to go over this briefly, we know that it tells us that Herod has stretched forth his hand to vex the church, and he had taken James, the brother John, and killed him with a sword. And then because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he decided to take Peter also. It was a time of unleavened bread. So he took Peter, and Peter was in prison. He had been delivered to four quaternions of soldiers, and with the intention that after the pagan celebration of Easter, that he was going to bring him out again to the people. But something was going on in the church. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 5 of Acts 12, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. They were praying. It says without ceasing. They had gathered together to pray. There was a need. Oh my, they loved their brother Peter, obviously. And you know, they knew what was at hand. Herod had already stretched forth his hand to kill James, the brother of John. And now we had taken Peter. But praise the Lord, there was a people that knew their God. And you know, they just forgot about everything else and shut them in. They all assembled together, perhaps various places, to pray. And it says, without ceasing of the church unto God for him, they were having a prayer meeting. Praise the Lord, they were having a prayer meeting. And you know what? God heard them as they prayed. You know, God is not deaf and dumb. He hears our cries. He knows our heart and he hears it. And he answers. And praise the Lord, God worked. It was quite the thing. It was the same night that Herod was going to bring him forth on the next day, I assume. And here Peter was in that prison. He was sleeping between two soldiers. He was bound with two chains. And at the door there of the prison, there were keepers, that quaternion that was guarding him as if he was some criminal or something. But God is greater than all of that. God heard the cries of his people. God was coming on the scene to intervene and to change the face of this event. And praise the Lord, the angel of the Lord came upon him. A light shined in the prison. And that angel smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And the chains that were around his hands fell off. Praise the Lord. They fell off. And the angel said, gird thyself, put on thy sandals. And so he did. He put on his garments and he put on his sandals and he began to follow the angel. And of course, at first he just thought it was a vision, you know. He thought it was some kind of dream. He didn't realize this was really happening. But the angel led him past the first ward, past the second ward. They came to the iron gate, and it just opened up on its own accord, and they walked through it, and they went out, and now they're out on the street. And then the angel left. And all at once, Peter realized, he came to himself, it tells us, and all at once he realizes, hey, this is not a vision, this is not a dream, it's happened. The Lord has sent his angel to deliver me and to set me free. And he was delivered out of the hand of Herod from the expectation of the people, the Jews. So, tells us he thought about it a minute. He considered where to go, and he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, it tells us, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered, where many were praying. Oh, they were gathered together to pray. They were having that prayer meeting. And such a response, it shows us, oh my, how we are as human beings. You know, we pray, and sometimes we don't really expect, I guess. But he knocked at the door. A damsel, a young woman, came out. Her name was Rhoda, and she knew his voice. But she just, for some reason, didn't open up the door, you know. And she ran in and told everybody, hey, Peter's outside. Peter's here. You know, they're praying that he'd be delivered. And now he's here. But they just tell her, you're mad. Come on, that's crazy. That's the goofiest thing I ever heard. But she kept on saying, no, he's here, he's been delivered. And they were astonished, yes. They finally did come to the door and open it, and there he was. Oh, praise the Lord. God had heard those prayers. God had heard the cries of their heart, and he had intervened. I mean, there's nothing too hard for our God. Nothing too hard at all. Praise the Lord. You know, I prayed with a woman yesterday who was telling me how she knew a certain individual who had, I believe, been in prison and not guilty, and somehow at a certain time they were given a letter of release. And years later, they came back to thank the people in authority there for releasing them from that prison. And you know, those individuals there in charge said, we didn't write a letter. You know, we didn't release you. And, you know, I don't know what all happened, but I know we serve a mighty God. And somehow this man was released. You know, God has his ways. Our God is in charge. There is nothing too hard for God. If we'll just but believe him and put our faith in him and stand on his promises and cry out and pray. Oh, yes, to pray without ceasing. Oh, yes, our God knows how to answer prayer. And as he did for others, he can do for us. He surely can do for us. And we're told in 1 Timothy, the second chapter, whom we should pray for. And of course, you know, I know the Lord puts people in our hearts. You know, as we have that heart-to-heart talk with God, you know, sometimes people come to mind that we maybe haven't seen or thought of for years. But there's a need. And you know, we have this wonderful opportunity to bring it before God. And it's a privilege. You know, you hear wonderful stories sometimes of people who are in despair, maybe praying that God would put them on somebody's heart. Or maybe they didn't even know God in certain cases. Who knows? But the Lord can use us as an intercessor. And praise the Lord. In 1 Timothy, this second chapter, in the first verse, we're told, I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And then it goes on to say, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So praise the Lord. Yes, we can pray for those that the Lord puts on our heart. That's making intercession. And yes, we should include those that are in authority. They might be the meanest people that we possibly know, but maybe we better pray. You know, something just might happen if we pray. You know, we probably can hold back the night a bit if we just pray. But there are certain kinds of prayer here that are mentioned in this first verse. It mentions supplications. And that is just simply an earnest, humble petition that we bring before the Lord, something on our heart that we give to the Lord and ask Him, beseech Him, beg Him, petition Him for. And prayers in general, yes, the things that God puts in our heart, the needs that we have, and the expectations and the desires and whatever all. And it talks about intercession. Oh, yes, it's so important to intercede for individuals. You know, that is a ministry in itself. And I'll tell you what, I don't know anybody who doesn't have needs. We're all human, you know, and we all go through hard things, and we all have needs. So praise the Lord. You all come to mind when I'm praying. You know, praise the Lord. The Lord puts people on our hearts, and that's the work of an intercessor. That was the work of a priest, and God gives His church that capacity to pray for other people. And then the very important thing of giving of thanks be made for all men. Praise the Lord. And we could do this. We can bring this all before God. And I'm going to come back here, I believe, in a minute, but Psalm 66, I believe there's a portion of Scripture there that tells us how to pray. If you look at verse 16 in Psalm 66, it says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul." It says in verse 17, "I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue." Sounds like it could be a little bit noisy, huh? And I know one thing. I'm not sure who wrote this psalm exactly, but David, the psalmist, did write many psalms. And one thing about David, the psalmist, he was not afraid to pray. He was not afraid to cry out. He talked about, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee." You could feel that in his psalms so many times, that crying out, that petition that he would bring before the Lord. You know, he knew the value of that. Oh, yes, Psalms 130, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications, my petitions, Lord. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Oh, praise the Lord for that. I wait for the Lord. "My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Oh, praise the Lord. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Oh, yes, the people of the Lord are forgiven their iniquities. Yes, when we bring them to God. We go down in the waters of baptism. Oh, praise the Lord. Those sins are remitted in that sea of his forgetfulness. And we thank God for that. But Psalm 66 talks about how I cried unto him with my mouth. I don't think that's a silent prayer. That's crying out. And he was extolled with my tongue. There was praise and admiration that came from that mouth, from that tongue. I have a feeling it wasn't any too quiet. And then it does tell us in verse 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Oh, it's so important to bring those sins before the Lord, to get rid of anything that would separate between us and our God. It's so important to give it over to the Lord and ask Him to give us a clean heart and a right spirit, to make us acceptable in His sight. All of that, we want to be heard by the Lord. So we give Him our heart. We bring our petitions before Him. We ask Him to bear our sins and know that He forgives us our sins. But praise the Lord, the psalmist went on to say, "But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer." You know, we can pray silently. And sometimes that's the only way you can pray, I understand. But yet, how powerful it is when we utter it with our voice. "He hath attended to the voice of my prayer." Giving it words, you know, making it well known, crying unto Him with our mouth, extolling, worshiping Him, praising Him with our tongue. Oh, it can make a difference. That's the kind of prayer that prevails. That's the kind of prayer that has power with God. Yet so often people are afraid to cry out. I'm so glad God got a hold of me. I must say, I remember how that was. I remember, you know, as a child before God had saved my soul. I remember down in children's church one Sunday, they asked me to pray. And I suppose I was 7 or 8. I couldn't. Nothing could come out. I couldn't pray. I honestly could not pray. There's no words. It was stuck. All right? I didn't even know if it was even possible. But I thank God. One day, He made it possible. He put it within me so I could run to that altar and cry out to the living God and bare my soul, asking Him for His mercy and His grace. Oh, to save me from death, hell, and the grave. Oh my, I thank God He put that within me that day so I could cry out to the living God and bear my soul to Him. Oh, praise the Lord, He loosened my tongue. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He changed me, you know, so I could pray, you know. He asked me now to pray. It's not going to stick in my throat. I thank God. I thank God. He changes us. But it is His wonderful redemptive power and ability. Oh, how He has redeemed us. How He has saved us. And how we can give Him glory. Oh, I thank God for what He has done. That price that He paid. Oh, praise the Lord. And so, back in 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verse 8, declares, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Oh, praise the Lord. When the Lord gets a hold of us, when He changes us, when that new life begins to breathe within us, we can lift up holy hands because they've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We can lift them up without wrath, without doubting, showing our faith, you know, bringing it to the Lord, knowing that He's there. Oh, praise the Lord. There's just something about raising the hands to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we sang about it tonight. That wonderful ability to lift our hands unto the Lord. Oh God, we can lift our heart with our hands. There's something about it, the book of Lamentation. Oh, it's so heavy there in that second and third chapter of Lamentation. But yet, Jeremiah, as he was in that great, stretch of grief there, you know, he saw all that had happened to Jerusalem, and his soul was so heavy and so burdened. Yet he said he could lift up his heart with his hands and praise the Almighty God. Oh, praise the Lord. There's a freedom in that. Oh, there's a release in that when you can lift up your hands unto God. It's part of our worship. It's part of our praise. It's part of our expectation that we could praise the Lord. We could give unto the Lord. Oh, ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We worship Him. We praise Him. He's done great things for us. He set us free. He redeemed us. That heaviness is gone. Oh, that burden of sin. Oh, that horrible, wretched burden of sin. Yes, I sort of still remember how that felt when things weren't right in my heart. Oh, that heaviness. Oh, how beautiful it is to give it to the Lord, to bring it before God, to let Him take it, to cast our cares upon the Lord, for He cares for us, to bring all those sins and all those transgressions, those heavy, ugly things before the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful thing. So we can offer then sacrifices of praise unto our God. Continually, it tells us in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, that's the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Oh, praise the Lord. He has done great and wonderful things. And you know, there is a great value in praise. There's a great deliverance in praise. I mean, I'll tell you what, you may be way down there. You might be a captive. You might be in great bondage. You might have a great trial. But if you can somehow praise the Lord, you can somehow worship the Lord, you can somehow find that release. Oh, God's subject to hear. He hears that. He hears those praises that come from the heart. You know, Paul and Silas there, 16th chapter of Acts, you know, there they were. They were in prison. And they had been beaten many stripes. I'm sure they were in pain. I'm sure they hurt. But it says at midnight, they sang and gave praise to the Lord. And the prisoners heard them. The other prisoners heard them. You know, it was a sacrifice of praise. You know, they didn't know what God was going to do, but somehow it came to them. Oh, to start worshiping the Lord, to start praising the Lord, to start exalting the Lord and praise the Lord began to deliver them. Yes, He sent an earthquake. Oh, yes, and they were released. Our God can do it. What He did for the early church, He could do for us. But you know what? He's looking for a people that are dedicated to Him, a people who put Him first, a people who know what it means to have sacrifice in their life, a people who aren't, you know, into the entertainment realm and doing everything for themselves and seeking the things of this world and going out for riches and esteem, or power, wealth, all that kind of thing. No, a people that seek the Lord and have a desire to see other people saved. That first love that He puts within us. The desire to win somebody to the Lord. That's what He puts within us. And He's looking for a people that have given everything over to God. Laid the other things aside. Dedicated their lives to God. I mean, not halfway, not sort of. I'm talking about giving everything to God. Oh, God, I pray that He can get us to that place. Oh, I pray that He can get us to that place where we've really rendered our hearts to the Lord. Oh, where we really know what it's like to give unto Him who has given us so much, so that we can bring Him something, so we can have something to show Him. I think how sad it is, you know, people who live this life and don't know how to pray. You know, how terrible it would be to leave this life. Next thing, you could stand before an Almighty God, not know Him. What an opportunity we have here tonight. What an opportunity that we have, oh, to come before the Almighty God and give Him our hearts, to render unto Him the fruit of our lips. We could praise Him, that we could exalt Him, that we could worship Him, or that we could put Him first to seek the things that are above. Not the things that are on this world, that our affections would not be on the things of this world, but on things above. Oh, God, get us to that place. God, get us to that place where we put you first, oh Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we need a revival. Listen, we need a revival. It's been too long. It's been too long since we saw people come to the Lord. It's been a long time. It's time to cry out to God like never before. It's time to pray. It's time to seek His face. It's time to be right with God and put Him first. Oh, how we need Him. How we need God. Oh, how we need Him. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God, please help us, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. The early church knew. They knew their God. And I've said it before, but I believe the reason there in the book of Acts where they could have things in common and do that is because they had surrendered to God. And the things of this world had lost their attraction and their value to them. They'd fully given everything to God. And, you know, I don't know exactly what God would ask of us. It may be a little different for every one of us individually. But to be in that place where He can use us, where we can be in that place of one accord, and you know, all the trivial, crazy things are forgotten, and our hearts are given to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't see any lights on up there, so I don't know if that means I'm out of time or just what, but I thank God that we have an opportunity here tonight. I thank God. This privilege, this building, this assembly. We have one another. He's given us a little time. We don't know the day or hour of His coming, but He's going to come as a thief. He's going to come suddenly. It's going to be over. It's going to end. As sure as I'm standing here tonight, it's going to be over one of these days. But now is the day of salvation. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It is time to seek the Lord like we've never sought Him before. It's time to travail in prayer, to know the power of prayer, and praying in the Spirit, letting the Lord take over when you pray. Oh my, there's such a joy in that when, you know, the Lord takes over. We pray in the Spirit, and He prays through us. Oh, praise the Lord, the things that we can't know, the things that we can't understand, the confusion in this world, all the heartaches and all the unknowns. We can give it to God. We can make our needs, our supplications, our requests known unto a living God. We can come unto that throne of grace and mercy and find help in a time of need. Oh, praise the Lord, He bids us to come. He has given us this opportunity. And I pray if there's anybody listening, oh, that has not yet given their heart to the Lord, that tonight would be the night. Tonight would be the night. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So praise the Lord, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we give it over to you, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that you'd put a burden on our hearts. Oh, God, I pray that you'd change us. Oh, God, I pray that you'd intervene in our lives. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to be in that place with you, Lord, where you want us to be, where we can win souls, Lord. Oh, God, where we can see signs and wonders that follow, oh, Lord, the church of the living God. Oh, Lord, we bring it to you, Jesus. I ask that you work in our hearts and in our midst. Oh, God, in our individual lives, God, that you'd make us alive in you, Jesus. Oh, God, for thy coming is at hand. And, Lord, you're going to have a people at thy right hand. And we thank you in Jesus' name. We praise thee, Lord. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we do praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord. We are going to close by singing number 44 in the hymnal tonight. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Dismissed on the prayer in Jesus' name.